Yo, what's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Collective Podcast. I'm your host, Devin Simmons, and we got a special guest today, bro. It's been a long time coming because we've been talking about doing this for at least a year.
Yeah.
Almost. And just been watching you grind in the fucking cage, bro. It's Nathan Rivera, my guy. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm glad you decided to come out and everything and get it knocking, man. And the interview is cool, man.
Bro, it's been a minute since we've seen each other, because like we were talking about how we haven't seen each other since at least high school.
Yeah.
And like how
I think it was sophomore year, or no. Either junior year or senior year, we had math together with you, me, and Jordan.
Oh, and yeah, you're right.
What I'm talking about?
Yeah.
That was I don't know what.
Dog, that was junior year.
Was that junior year?
Yeah.
I think that's the last time we had a class.
And then we had U.S. history together.
Oh, yeah, we did.
With
big old dude.
Man, what was his name again? I forget.
He was cool, though.
He was cool, dude. Cool, dude. But again, it's just been a minute. So it's going to be good to catch up. But what's up? Man. Like, how you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I mean, it's crazy because it seems like since we graduated 2016, it's 2021, everyone kind of like found their niche.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Everyone found their groove where they want to do, and they're like, they're chasing that. And it's kind of cool to see like people reconnecting and people chasing their dreams and stuff like that.
And so, specifically in art class too.
No,
bro.
Yeah.
Because like it seems like people really
popping, bro. Like,
crazy.
Like clothing stuff, people doing their thing in like sports and stuff like that. Facts. Like people going in, bro.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But if we talking sports, I feel like you kind of doing your thing on a major platform,
sure.
Bro. Two KOs, and I gotta ask you, bro, what's up with these dudes like jumping out of fights last minute? Because that's been my whole thing. Because like I was like really ready to go see you fight, last minute it seems like everybody that's wanted to fight dropped out. What's up with that?
That was like, I remember that specifically. That was a Wednesday. So I'm cutting weight, cutting out sodium, water loading, you know, like doing my whole weight cut process. And then Wednesday night, my coach is like, yo, he pulled his hamstring and some bullshit. Like, wow. I don't even know if he pulled his hamstring. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't.
Right.
But I mean, it's like, it's the worst part of the sport is when someone pulls out of a fight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's frustrating because you put so much time into it and stuff like that. But I had 7 in a row. The guy I fought last was the 7th person out of people who dropped out. So it was like the first couple, like the first guy dropped out for like personal reasons. The second guy had an injury. And then the next guy, I don't even remember. It was just over and over. One guy left me at the weigh-ins at the card before. Like, I didn't even know. Like, the promoter was like, yo, he just texted me, said he can't come. He was coming from Florida. So I think sometimes people don't want to fight because they can't make weight.
Yeah.
Or they just don't want to fight. Or, I don't really know what they're feeling. But some people like to be in the spotlight until it comes.
See, but the thing is, I'm trying to think, is, like, that's a commitment.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we're going to get into, like, really the process of you preparing for a fight. But I know that that's, like, a vigorous process.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
That's got to be at least in the smallest, like, really annoying, I bet.
Yeah.
Like, and really, like, fucked up. But, like, what really goes into, like, getting into the next mode for a next fight is going to be a different guy. Like, what do you do to adjust to that?
So, I mean, from start, whenever a fight gets announced, I really don't stay. I don't stay more than 10 pounds away from my fighting weight.
Okay.
Because we're amateurs, so like short notice fights come. Like, hey, this guy he broke his arm, something. Can you fill in? Like, a lot of opportunities if you stay on weight and you stay ready. So people always talk about fight camps. I don't really have like a specific fight camp. Like, I train like very often, every week, multiple times a day. So it's like whenever a fight gets announced, the training kind of shifts.
Right.
You know, if I'm going against a wrestler, my training's going to shift. If I'm going against a boxer or a kickboxer, or more like a guy who throws kicks, or if he he's really a good grappler or something like that, like then my training will shift, and I'll kind of like just kind of like tweak it a little bit. But the training is pretty constant, honestly.
Yeah.
You know, getting the diet right is probably the biggest shift in my day-to-day life. Like, I have to watch, you know, what I eat and how many carbs I have, and you know, going up to the fight, it gets very strict, but like, you know, a couple months out, you just kind of have to start slowly tweaking it. You know what I mean?
Right. All right. So before we go too deep, let's rewind and start over and just dig into Nathan Rivera. Just like, where did this start for you? Because I knew you to be somewhat of a fighter in high school, because like I knew you had told me about it, and I guess I never really saw it, so I was like, Nathan looks like he could get into MMA or some form of fighting. When did this start for you, and when did it start to become what it is today?
So I mean, it started I was a little kid. My parents put me in Taekwondo when I was a kid because I had so much energy and they wanted to teach me some discipline. So I did that, and then we moved here to Georgia when I was 7 and put me back in Taekwondo for a couple years. And then when I was 13, I started doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu at a gym called Fusion MMA. And then from there, I like took a year off, wrestled in high school, came back, and I would do striking and grappling and MMA. I really wasn't like... It was just fun, you know what I mean? It wasn't like a serious like passion of mine that I was like doing it every day. Like I was there like maybe twice a week, and then I got a job there teaching kids, and I started really excelling at teaching kids, and that kind of kept me in the gym. I still at this point, like I wasn't crazy into the training aspect of things. Like I wasn't like wanting to fight professionally or anything like that. I just wanted to be there because I was getting money, it was getting paid, and it was a job, and I enjoyed the people that I was with, so. That was that, and then I started doing jiu-jitsu tournaments, and then like 2019 I was like, dude, I'm here so much, let's like make
Might
it happen
as well get involved.
Yeah, let's make it happen. And so like all those years of not really dedicating myself how I should were like starting to like pay, they're starting to like find me. So I was going to grappling tournaments, and I was not doing very well, and I would go out to other things, and I got an MMA fight. And then after my first fight, I was like, all right, this is it.
Yeah.
Like, this is it. So I start fine-tuning my diet, my sleep schedule, my training schedule, and everything. And it was like, it's kind of on from there.
Yeah. Because I was literally, that was going to be my next question. Like, what was that adjustment period from, like, not doing it at all to, like, really jumping into it? Like, what was that tough or, like?
In high school, like, I thought I was so bad. Like, I thought I was just some badass little kid. And I'm not, like, at all. So I'm like, who was this? I look back, I'm like, what the hell are you doing? Getting into fights all the time. Like, you don't know how to fight. Like, I would, you know, to, like, somebody who doesn't know how to fight, I probably knew a little bit. But I was getting my ass beat in the gym and stuff. Like, nothing. I'm like, you're not bad, bro. Right. What are you doing? So, but, like, after I stopped, like, you know, coming with that type of lifestyle, you get a lot of unhealthy habits. You know what I mean? So... like you stop drinking, you stop smoking cigarettes, and then you're like, oh wow, like working out's a lot easier, and like, you know, different things. And but yeah, it was definitely a shift. Yeah. It was definitely a shift. Like, you don't, now it's just been such a constant in my life since the first time I fought, which is January of 2020. It's just been my lifestyle since. So, you know, I give myself like 2 weeks after fights. My diet's really strict. Like I don't smoke. I drink maybe twice after a fight. Like, and it's just like everything changed. Like everything changed, honestly, going from not really doing it to like everything you do during your day is towards that goal. I remember a quote that always sticks with me every time I want to slack off or something. Like, the quote's, you're 100%. No, what is it? It's if you're 99% in, you're 100% out. So if you're not all the way in, if you're just 99% in, you're all the way out. So it really, like, I was like, shit. Like, you got to be all in. So I just, everything about my life changed since then.
It sounds like a really humbling experience, if anything.
It is. And it's crazy. I haven't really talked about it a lot. I have, like, to, like, close people in my family and stuff like that, and training partners and stuff. But it's a... MMA is a crazy sport. It's the highest highs, the lowest lows. And my first fight, I fought this really good fighter, and I lost the decision. And I'm thinking to myself, like, I didn't really address what was going on with me. I was just like, it was a fluke. He was a good fighter, but, you know, whatever. It was a fluke. I ran it back. I got another fight really quick, and this guy sucks. Like, this guy was not a good fighter. And I think this is what really, really caused me to change, is because this guy was not a good fighter. And I was beating his ass, and he caught me in a guillotine, and he tapped me out. And I'm thinking to myself, how did you just lose to this guy who sucks? You're a better fighter. And then ever since then, it took me losing to somebody I know I'm better than to really get strict. And everything changed. And it's like now I'm like a freaking psychopath with a checklist on my wallet for every day of the week that I'm, you know what I mean? And I'm like, shit, all right, you're 0-2. Like, let's hope this works out. Yeah. And then ever since then, I mean, aside from MMA, like jiu-jitsu tournaments, boxing fights, like I've been just going in and just doing work, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And everything kind of changed after that one. It was crazy.
Right.
It was really cool.
Damn. That's a great story, by the way, because that was awesome. So, like, on our podcast, when you got your first KO, which was so exciting to see, because, like, I was just like, dog, I know that man, and he really just did that. What goes into getting in the cage in the first place? Because on that podcast, my co-host Tad was like, you got to be a different breed to even step in, which, I mean, pre-existing knowledge is like, yeah, you have to be a different kind of dude or a different kind of woman to get in there and actually just sign up to either get fucked up or fuck somebody up. Yeah, so, like, what was, like, I guess for your first time versus your last time, what's really changed for you ever since you've gone in? And what was that experience like the first time versus like the last time when you feel like you're a little more prepared?
The first time I didn't really know. I wish I would have started with boxing or kickboxing first to get my feet wet in that crowd scene. You know what I mean? Because it's crazy, man. I mean, like, you walk out and there's people everywhere, lights, your walkout song, like, and you're like, yo, dog, I'm in the UFC or something right now. Right. Like, you know what I mean? And you're like, what is going on?
Yeah.
But it really is, I didn't know who I was as a fighter. Or really, at that point in my life, I didn't really know who I was as a person. But as a fighter, I didn't know what type of style am I? Do I kick a lot? Do I punch a lot? Do I grapple? Do I do this? You know what I mean? Like, what are my strengths? What are my weaknesses? And it's kind of like, I don't really know. I've never tested these things out. I've never pressure tested these things. So my first fight was just, I just knew I wanted to hit that dude and kick that dude. So I was hitting and kicking and I gassed out real quick. In my last fight, I think all the preparation from 2020 in January to now, it just refined everything and I had to plan for everything. Like, no stone was left unturned. My conditioning was right. Like, everything, there's another good quote that I think about a lot, and it says, through preparation, it allows you to just focus on your opponent. You don't have to focus on anything else. If you've done all the work beforehand and all the preparation, you just focus on your opponent, and that's it. And that's a really freeing feeling. I'm telling myself in the back when I'm going out, I'm like, all right, I'm getting ready. All I have to do is worry about him because I've done everything. Every stone is flipped. You know what I mean? Conditioning, diet, sleep. I mean, every technique that we practice every day, you know what I mean? Pressure tested, putting in bad positions. Like, everything's taken care of. So now you can just go fight. And I think having that real confidence with real training, and the people here that we train with are killers, you know what I mean? And going through just the trenches with them and sparring lets you go into a fight like, all right, let's do it. You know what I mean? Like, I know you're not better than this dude that I spar every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So
right. It really sets you up for
success. Yeah, real. I think real confidence is a difference between the first fight and my last fight. Like, real confidence in my abilities and stuff like that.
Yeah. So, like, going forward, where are you, like, weight class wise?
Featherweight, which is 145. I box at 155 pounds because they do the weigh-ins the same day.
Gotcha.
For MMA, they do the day before weigh-in, so you have time to rehydrate and stuff like that. So I'm a 145 pound MMA fighter.
Okay. So, with all of that being said, like, what really is next after, like, this level of fighting? Because nonetheless, it's fighting nonetheless.
Yeah.
Like, it's still very, very, very vigorous and intense.
Yeah.
What do you see going forward as a MMA fighter?
Yeah.
And where do you strive to be,
that's,
I guess, in 5 years going forward?
Okay, that's a really good question, because a lot of people don't really know, like, the progression of an MMA fighter.
Right.
MMA is, like, in Georgia, at least, you have amateur MMA, which we wear shin guards, 7-ounce gloves, and you can't do ground and pound to the head.
Okay.
After three fights, you become advanced amateur MMA, which is what I am, and that's, you can do ground and pound to the head, you have no shin guards, and you wear 7-ounce gloves. The only thing separating a pro fighter versus an amateur fighter in Georgia is you can't elbow and you can't knee to the face.
Okay.
So for me, like, our coach wants us to have about 10 MMA fights before we go pro. So, because when you go pro, your record goes back to 0-0.
Right.
And that's when everyone looks at you. No one looks at your amateur record. Like big companies like the UFC,
sure,
Bellator,
sure.
They're not really looking at your amateur record. But around 10 fights is when I'll go pro. And when you go pro in boxing, or when you go in pro in MMA, you can't go back to amateur boxing, and vice versa. If you go pro in boxing, you can't go to amateur box or amateur MMA. So I'm an active boxer, so I want to get as many amateur boxing fights and MMA fights as I can, because once I go pro, you can't go back.
Yeah.
But after you go pro, it's the minute rounds change. You fight for 5-minute rounds versus 3-minute rounds. And really what you're doing as an amateur or as a pro fighter is you're building your record, and you're trying to get a big company like the UFC or Bellator or LFA or any big company to look at your fights and say, like, okay, we want him fighting for us. Usually they'll send you a couple fight deal, you know what I mean? And a lot of the time it's late replacement, so you really have to stay ready when you're a pro. But in 5 years, I will be 29 years old. I'm estimating to go pro around 26. I'm 24 now, so around 26. So around 5 years, I'll be like 4 or 5 pro fights in. So that's really when the UFC starts like looking at you. So,
and even like, you know, strategizing that in your head, is there a level of intimidation still to like getting into that next barrier of this insane activity, or is it just kind of like, fuck it, I know what I'm in now, or what is it?
There definitely was. When you start out amateur fighting and you don't know, like, you know, there's amateurs and there's pros,
okay,
and you're like, well, the pros are like pros,
yeah,
you know what I mean? And then you stay in the game a little bit, and all these people that were amateur fighters that used to train with are turning pro, and you're like, okay, they're human.
Yeah.
I trained with you every day. Like, I know where my skill level lies with your skill level.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's not like this huge jump, because before I was like pro, oh my God. Like, but amateur and pro is really, it's not a crazy jump if you train like a pro.
Yeah.
So if you're training like a professional fighter, then when you get to pro, it's just like, okay, this is it,
yeah,
you know. And if you want to be an amateur fighter forever, train like an amateur fighter, you know. Our coach always says, if you want to be a professional fighter, you need to train like a pro. So we don't cut corners. It's very, everything's pretty strict, you know what I mean? And you can really get caught up in your head and obsessed with not cutting any corners, you know, and you can kind of forget to live your life a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
Like, my girlfriend, God bless her, man, she's like, dude, are you gonna like enjoy your life? Like, you wanna come out and get a drink? And like, I'm so strict, like when I'm in fight camp, I'm like, she knows, she don't even ask me no more. She's like, whatever. Like, you know what I mean? But like, after a fight, like, we kinda ball out for like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you know what I mean?
And then it's right back.
But then it's back to it. Like, this fight, I got the finish on Saturday. And on Monday, my coach texted me and he was like, you ready for a title shot? And I was like, run it up, put the drink down, put the pizza down. I was like,
I was just about to ask you about that. So, as we said, there's levels to this shit. The titles are starting to come into the picture as you're getting a lot of more like impressive wins. What's next in that, right? Like, what are you getting ready to go forward with?
So the September 12th, I'll fight for the vacant amateur NFC or Georgia NFC featherweight championship.
Wow.
So it's kind of cool, man. There's a lot of 145ers out there. So the fact that they're giving me that opportunity to fight for the belt is pretty dope. And it's funny. I'm fighting a guy that I've never like known a person and then fought them ever. So it's pretty cool. And I don't know this guy like extensively, but like we both fought in the past car together.
Okay.
And he came up to me and was like, hey, I saw your last knockout, it was real cool. Like, our matchmaker said, asked me if I wanted to fight you if we both do well in these fights tonight for the 145 belt. He was like, but I'm going to 155. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. I think my coach knew about the fight offer before he told me. He didn't want to like get me thinking about it, but I guess he did know about it. And I was like, oh, that'd be cool, man, you know. And we were, like, cordial the whole time. Like, I said, good job. And, like, we were DMing each other a little bit after the fights. I didn't know that I was going to fight this dude. But he's, like, a really cool, respectful dude. So yeah. I'm excited to fight somebody that I've like, seen before and watched him fight before I actually fight him. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting.
That's going to be really entertaining. Is that going to be in Atlanta?
Yeah, it's at District Atlanta.
Pull the fuck up.
District Atlanta.
Pull up. Pull up, because I'm definitely going to be there. That's going to be really, really fun. Because, I mean, again, when we were talking about it the first time when we saw you get that knockout, we were just talking about, like, how different you got to be to, like, one, get in there, but two, to, like, really commit. And it really seems to be the theme of not only this gym, but any gym in America or the world, just really committing to something like that. And overall, I'm just fucking proud of you, because, like, I know that, like, I know a version of Nathan Rivera that probably would not, like, put as much work in.
Seeing
you do, like, so much and hearing you, like, prove it, like, I'm, no, drinks, put it away, food, carbs, all that. And really just committing yourself to this activity. It's been really fun to watch, and I'm so excited for you, dude.
Dude, I appreciate it, man.
Yeah.
Dude, going back to what you said, the past Nathan, it's kind of crazy because, like, if I wasn't fighting, there's no way I would stay out of trouble. There's no way. Because, like, I'm going to do hood rat shit with my friends. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm trying to go do some shit because it's fun, bro.
Like, to be personally with you, because the last time I, like, chopped it up with you, is like, I knew Nathan the Rager.
Bro, I'm like, I look back at Snapchat memories. I'm like, who is this freaking kid that thinks he's so bad, trying to fight everybody? Like, dude, I, like, would definitely get into trouble and would be living an unhealthy life if I was not fighting. So it's like, looking back, I'm like, oh, thank God, bro. And I just needed to focus my energy on something, and I'm like, all right, let's do it in the cage instead of out here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
so, in committing yourself so much to this activity, is there life out? Side of fighting, really?
I mean, honestly, to kind of like break down my schedule, Mondays I work 40-hour week job.
Okay.
Or 40 hours. What am I trying to say? A full-time job, pretty much. Trying to say 40-hour
math.
Yeah. I work a full-time job every day. You know, 9 to 5. So that definitely exists, but we're working from home right now, so it's kind of cool. But once I get off from work, I come here, teach a kid's boxing class. I do a private lesson with my MMA coach, and then I do the advanced boxing class. On Tuesday, I get off, I come here, I do a strength conditioning, boxing, and jiu-jitsu. Wednesday, I teach private lessons, and I hang out with my girl. Thursday is the same as Tuesday, and Friday is boxing sparring, or MMA sparring, depending on what's coming up. Saturday morning, I train, and Sunday I'm at the track doing conditioning. So honestly, like, the people that I hang out with all have very similar goals. That's another thing that really changed for me, is like, what are you trying to do? And that's how you connect with people at a deeper level than like a surface level. Like, if you're really chasing something and you're putting work into that, like, it doesn't matter what it is, but like, that's really respectable, and that's something that I can connect with you on. So the people that I hang out with, like, outside of the gym, is usually involving fighting. You know, we all have the same dream of going pro one day, so we're like watching fights together, or we're doing stuff like that, you know what I mean?
Which is probably helping in any way, because having like-minded people around you, I mean, I definitely can attest to it, because in like the last 2 years or so, just making sure that the surrounding circle has like-minded goals, or if their goals are totally different than mine, I want to know that they're like 100% committed to it. And that just, and like, Lou helps get closer to your goals too. So like, I know that feeling.
That's big. It's big, especially as you grow with some people. Sometimes their things change, like their goals change, you know what I mean? There's nothing wrong with that. But like, your parents always tell you, you know, like, watch who you hang out with. That shit's real. Yeah, so it's like, that shit is real. So, and it applies to training partners and their habits also and stuff like that. So, it's definitely outside of the gym is, it's not a ton outside of the gym. You know what I mean? I really, I make time for, I have a couple of priorities, really three, and it's my family, my girlfriend, and MMA. And my girlfriend is the best, man. She's like so supportive. She's a nurse. She has a kind of crazy schedule too. But it's like setting aside that, and that didn't all I was so wonky. Like, I was all this or all that or all that. And we kind of, as I've grown, it's, you kind of get your schedule down, and you have to make time for things outside of the gym or you'll burn out. You know what I mean? You'll definitely start resenting going. But honestly, like, some days I don't want to be here, but it's not like, dang, I don't want to be here. It's like, this workout's going to be tough. You know what I mean? But I've never not wanted to be at the gym, like, ever. It's so fun. And it's like, people always talk about how it's so hard and everything, and it's hard, but it's so fun that it's like playing. It's like you're freaking fighting people in a ring all day. You know what I mean? So hopefully one day I'll get to do it for money. You know what I mean? That's what everyone's chasing. So it's,
to be honest with you, it's in your future, dog.
Yeah, I feel like it is. Like, there's, I used to be like so humble about it, like, oh yeah, like maybe if it works out. And I'm like, why am I being so humble with, like, to myself? I'm always like, it's happening. You're going to be a pro fighter, you're going to be signed to a big organization because you put in the work. You know what I mean? And when I'd be around certain people, I'm like, yeah, maybe. But like recently, like as I've been growing as a person, I'm like, why am I doing that? Because I know it's going to happen. You know what I mean? And there's so many people talking shit. You know, people always say, oh, that's a fun hobby. Like, you'll never do that for money. But that's cool. Like, that's really fun. You know, and there's so many. Yeah, man. People are like, yeah, you better quit that shit, you know, and all this. And it's just like, all you gotta say is like, yeah, that's cool, yeah, yeah. Yo, you never know, you know. Yeah. But like in the back of my head, I'm like, watch, motherfucker, when I get, watch, I'm gonna send you a screenshot of my UFC contract, bro. You know what I mean? And I'm like, I kind of hold those things, and it really helps motivate me. But yeah, it's pretty interesting. It's a weird game, man.
And once again, bro, like, I am like in awe of like the pure commitment to this activity, because like, again, I don't see myself doing something like this. So whenever I see someone do it for themselves and 100% commit, that shit, it just makes me excited. You know what I'm saying?
I feel the same way about, like I said, like, you know how people from high school, they're doing their own thing. Like, the fact that you've been doing this podcast since 2018 and just steady and just consistent, it's really, I met some new people. They're actors, and they're super cool dudes, and they were telling me about their process of acting. And the process is the same for if you want to be an actor or a fighter, or you want to have a podcast, like, it's, or a film crew, anything. Like, the process is the same. Like, the consistency is needed, the passion is needed, and like the creativity is needed. And it's so cool to see your podcast popping up. Like, I'm seeing local people in Marietta, like freaking all kinds of people that like collected, dude. I'm like, yo, I seen that dude. Yeah. He's popping. Yeah. Devin's interviewing him. You know what I mean? Like, it's just cool, man. Yeah, so I appreciate you giving me the time to kind of talk to you about different things and stuff like that. And yeah, man, it's cool. Where we came from, how we built it up, man. Hey, I feel like we're going to look back on this and be like, that shit was wild, dog.
Yeah, there's another level above what we're doing right now, which is always exciting. But I'm glad you got on too, because I was like, this needed to happen. Yeah, and it seems like the perfect time with you actually like really, really digging in. Yeah, exactly. So I guess my last question is kind of like a personal question for me, not necessarily personal, but like, I just like want to like dive into this activity as much as I can, because I've always loved watching MMA. But if you had to say what your qualities inside the cage would be, or even the boxing ring, whatever it may be, what would you say they are? Because in watching you, I can say, oh, Nate's a dog. Like, but like, I want to know the specifics of what really makes you stand out above, because you've clearly done that in the last year or so.
Honestly, so we're at the gym that I started out from. It's called Fusion MMA. And certain gyms, they have a vibe. You know, like, these guys have really good kicks. These guys wrestle really good. Or these guys are really good at jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
The gym that I was at, really, I had an amazing coach, Brian Hill. And he, every fighter out of that gym was different, because he kind of found what you were good at. And then we helped build that up. Instead of building all the same type of fighter, we were a smaller gym. So he kind of figured out where you're good, and we built it up. But we were very well versed all around. Like, we didn't really have one specific thing that we were good at. So I feel really comfortable all around. Like, in jiu-jitsu, I feel very comfortable. In wrestling, I feel very comfortable. Striking, kicking, punching, I feel very comfortable. It's funny, my teammate, he came up with me kind of the same way. And we've been sticking together since day one. And he trains here as well. he's more of a grappler, so he has like a bunch of submission wins, and I have a couple knockout wins, and it's because our first coach built us up, and you know what I mean, that he fell in love with that aspect of it.
Yeah.
I really fell in love with the striking aspect. Like, getting a submission is cool, like, it's cool, but like knocking someone out, bro, like that's cool, dog. And so I spend my time, I do maybe 1 or 2 days of Muay Thai sparring and stuff like that, but the majority of my training is boxing sparring.
Okay.
And you can get boxing fights all the time, so it's a way to stay sharp. MMA fights are about every 2 to 3 months, and in between I get a lot of boxing fights. And we have a great boxing team under, and so I'm an MMA fighter out of X3 Sports, and I'm a boxer out of Last Laugh Fight Team. That's our fight team, and we're a very competitive boxing team. So we put in work, and the level of competition in our team is just so high that it forces you to raise your level. It forces you to raise the bar because you're going to get your ass beat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I would definitely say boxing is one of my, like, one of my things that I love to do in the cage. I don't know, something about throwing hands. Like, just throwing hands with somebody is just, like, it's, like, grit, and it's just fun. You know what I mean? So
we... Let me ask this carefully, because I bet you'd probably say both. But if you had to pick, you would pick boxing over MMA, or would you say you would do both steadily?
So I'm going to become like a professional MMA fighter. When you go pro, you really need to choose where you're going. The fighters that do a little bit of boxing, do a little Muay Thai, do a little MMA, like they're not very successful. There's a book that I read called, it's by like LeBron James's coach. Unbreakable, something unstoppable, something like that. I'll find it to you. I'll let you know. It's a really good book. I think you'd like it. But he talked about being, he calls it a cleaner. And a cleaner is being the best at something. And he said, you can only be a cleaner in your one area. You can't be the best in this area, in that area, in this area, in that area. So he's like, pick your thing that you're going to be the best in and be it. And that, for me, is going to be MMA. Just because I put so many years into training and jiu-jitsu. And boxing is really fun. And I love boxing so much, and that's all my training is pretty much, not all of it, but like 50% of my training is boxing. I fell in love with that type of sport, but there's nothing like being on top of somebody and hit. Like in MMA, like you can get up, like if you knock someone down, you don't have to wait for them to get up and give an 8 count, 10 count, whatever. Like MMA, if you rock someone and they're down, you can go finish it. You know what I mean? So I definitely love MMA. And we fight in 7 ounce gloves. When we go pro, it's 4 ounce gloves. Like cracking somebody with a 7 ounce glove versus a 12 ounce glove as an amateur is different. So it's cool.
Awesome. Well, thank you again, bro. This has been so fun, and I'm really, really excited. And you have a fight September 12th?
Yes,
September 12th. September 12th. So be sure to check that out. Nathan Rivera, he's really, really dope. And we'll see you in the next episode, boys. Peace. Season.